Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/Brady Bros and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. It's literally that easy. I say it every week, guys, we still got a little bit of extra time. We got quarantine time to kill. Great way to kill some time. Go to audibletrial.com/Brady Bros and check it out. Hello and welcome back to the Brady Bros Boston Sports Podcast, where we cover everything in the still nothing's going on Boston sports world. My name is James Brady, and alongside me is my brother Nicholas. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Today is Monday, April 13th, and this is episode 54.
No icing. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
For the past couple of weeks, I've gone through the internal struggle of if we should actually record, because we're just going to repeat it a lot of the same. But we've done our best. We've scoured the internet and we still don't have a whole lot for you, but we're going to bring it to you regardless. So let's start the show the way we always do with the Boston Red Sox. There has been a little bit of news, and when I say news, I mean rumors, basically, coming out of
just rumors
the MLB. based on, you know, getting back into baseball. Earlier in the week, I saw a couple of things that there was some proposed stuff to getting players back together in May, and then, you know, beginning the season shortly thereafter. And then there's kind of a proposed start to the season out in like Arizona at like neutral sites, and I'll let James explain that, since you've I assume taken the time to read about this.
Yeah, so I mean, you're pretty much correct. The idea is that players would all go to Arizona, and they would utilize the Diamondback Stadium, as well as I think there's about 10 other spring training stadiums nearby, because that's where the Cactus League is held there.
I believe so.
Cactus League, because the Grapefruit League
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Cactus League is held there, and the idea is that basically players would stay isolated in like hotel rooms, and then they'd only get together to travel to the game from the game, go back into isolation, basically try to reduce the risk of anyone catching this virus. A lot of players aren't loving this idea, because it means just leaving their family for months on end, because it wouldn't be safe for them to leave that relative isolation of the hotels they're staying in. They'd be playing without fans. So it's not the best idea, but it's basically the only idea that we have to get baseball back as fast as possible.
And I don't want to be like a downer here. There's no way this happens.
I don't think it's going to happen either now.
Because it becomes a matter of, yes, it would be great to, you know, have something to take our minds off of the whole coronavirus situation, and, you know, get to watch some baseball delayed in the start of the season as we may be. But it's just not, I don't want to say not doable, because it is. It's not realistic is what it is.
It's not realistic. And like I said, you need the players to be all in on it. And that's like saying, imagine if the Red Sox are going to play in Arizona and Rafael Devers, Xander Bogarts, and Nate Eovaldi are like, nah, I'm staying home with my family. Like, what do you do if you're the Red Sox in that situation?
It'd be interesting there to see where, you know, the whole contract obligations thing. Granted, I doubt they have a clause in their contract for a worldwide pandemic.
No, otherwise, we
probably would have heard about that. But
Scott Boras is out here somewhere. Like, I knew this was going to
just, I'm going to assume that as a major agent for sports.
The major agent for baseball. Anyways, all right. Well,
reference whatever.
Swing and a miss.
No, nice one.
Yep,
got that one. But no, it's not realistic, because even you had everyone on board, and so, and I keep using this reference. This key is what keeps coming to me, rather, when I think about the coronavirus. It's, where do you draw the line, right? Because you need the players.
Yeah.
You need umpires,
coaching staff,
some sort of maintenance and ground crew, although they could be separate from the players pretty easily.
Yeah.
Coaching staff, training staff, and then like production people. And it's like, how far out do you go? And then at the end of the day, all it takes is one.
Exactly. This
one person doesn't follow the rules. It's just going to be the
Rudy Gobert thing again, where the first person who comes down with it, it's like, well, close up shop. We're done. Like,
yeah, and then you get back into this whole thing of now they need to do 2 weeks quarantine again. So, like, it's not realistic is what it is. It's great to hear about, and thinking about it is kind of fun, but it's not. I would put my money on it's not going to happen. Now, take that as you might, because where I put my money usually isn't that creative an option. So maybe I'm doing us a favor here by saying it's not going to happen, but no, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and just to kind of round it out and finish it off, what I was going to say is it's kind of like just being in quarantine as a person. It's like you'd rather just bite the bullet and do it now and get your quarantine time over with than like breaking the rules here and there and just extending quarantine way longer. So basically, if the players and fans, we just kind of suck it up and say, okay, there's no baseball for like another month or two, but then we just get to play the season normally versus risking it kind of playing hey, this early season. We can play some kind of,
but I don't want to say like half-assed, but
not full effort baseball.
Yeah.
And then if something goes wrong, there goes two more, like, you know, couple weeks of quarantine, and just pushes the season back even further. But there is hope. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, and that light currently leads to Taiwan, where
I don't think anyone's some ever said
form
that
of baseball is being played. There's currently, I believe it is, Chinese teams are playing baseball in Taiwan, which is a good sign. I saw a video clip on Twitter today of a guy hitting a home run, which was like the first professional home run hit in 2020 because no form of baseball has taken place. But it's a good sign. It just looked like the people on the diamond, nobody in the stands. But it just gives hope that once we make it past this big spike in the curve and we kind of start to get on the other side of it, hopefully, that there's this possibility of baseball can come back. Like we're seeing it done. Absolutely. We'll see how it goes and kind of use this as like a case study and go from there.
Yeah, and we can kind of use this to segue into the Celtics now, which we basically, and by basically I mean we have nothing for. But I've heard rumors of kind of a similar deal where they would do like neutral sites type of thing, bring in like quarantine the players at hotels, and then I even heard something like just doing it kind of for fun, quote unquote, like just to have something to do.
Yeah.
Which again, this isn't gonna, for the same reasons that we just specified for baseball, is unrealistic and cool to think about, but probably not gonna happen. Full NBA news though, I guess that was still kind of full NBA news. The online game of horse is currently going on, and I have not kept up with that.
Yeah, I only caught up with today because I knew it was going on. So the first round has already happened. There were 8 matchups, I believe, in the first round. Those have already happened. So your semifinal matchups, what you're looking at is Chauncey Billups versus Mike Connolly and Zach LaVine versus Ali Quigley of the WNBA. It's a cool idea, and I think it's like a fun little thing to tune into. And it's just one of those things where people are so desperate to have something that we're like, okay, like this is just something fun, a little bit of basketball. And I was a little confused because I thought at first it meant getting people together to do this game of horse, but you see they do it all over like a video call where one person will do a shot, the other person sees it and just replicates on their own court wherever they're at. So it's a fun little thing, and it'll be like, oh, you know, the game of horse, you get to see some older players mixed in with current players, WNBA players, which is really cool. And really the first time we've kind of seen something like that, which is, I think, good, and maybe we'll even see stuff like this moving forward regardless of what's going on in the world. But those are your matchups. You can tune in. I don't really know where to find it, but I'm guessing if you just look up NBA game of horse, that's what I looked up and it came up immediately. So if you're looking for a little bit of basketball to catch up with, that is pretty much the way to go.
Yes.
And pretty much all we have for the Celtics and the NBA.
And before we get into the Bruins here, we will take a quick moment to have a word from a sponsor.
And we're getting to the Boston Bruins now. The big topic up for debate today we have is, will Torey Krug come back to Boston? And I want to jump out in front of this and say, I don't think either of us should say what we want to happen.
No.
Because we have a way of doing the opposite of willing things into existence. whenever we say basically anything, we have the longest record of cold takes, from Brock Holt's coming back to the Sox, Mookie Betts is coming back to the Sox, Brady's staying with the Patriots. The list goes on and is kind of scary if you look back. So we'll take a very high-level objective stance on this one, looking at Torrey Krug and the possibility of him coming back to Boston. So his contract is up whenever this NHL season ends. And the general report right now is that he wants to be back in Boston for next year. But at the same time, the money's got to be right.
Makes sense. Great player. I mean, who can forget skating 200 feet without a helmet to level a guy in the Stanley Cup Finals last year against the Blues? That's pretty much like the prime Torrey Krug moment that comes out to me. But also a great defenseman that, you know, has no trouble jumping in on the attack. Kind of him and Charlie McAvoy are both like that. But again, I don't want to say too much because we have a bad track record. But a guy I think deserves to be paid fairly. And in hockey, it seems that more times than not, they reach that fair agreement.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, I believe there are reports of him saying he would take some kind of pay cut to stay with the Bruins, which is a really, really good sign. And I'm with you. He's a great defender who can also really help with the offense. You see him a lot on power plays and stuff, kind of where they need that extra offensive help. And the idea is that he's hoping he comes back to Boston whenever hockey gets back. NHL, in terms of general updates, we really don't have anything. There's split consensus across the league whether it's coming back. Some players are like, yeah, we feel like it's coming back. Other players are like, nah, season's gone. Really don't know where to take a stance on that, so I'll just kind of move on.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add there. Still pretty quiet from the NHL, which, you know, either means they're delaying the inevitable of calling off the season, or they're scheming somehow and they're trying to figure out some way to get this back. But like previously mentioned, with the Red Sox, or with baseball in general, with basketball in general, we really don't know when that's going to be, and having kind of those isolated games is not really an option.
Yeah, and then we'll kind of move on to the other. This is more of just a fun thing that I saw today on Instagram from Zdeno Chara, and he basically talked about in this post, he's been getting a lot of questions, basically asking if he thinks, or Tuukka Rask thinks, that they can win another Stanley Cup, and it sucks that they can't be on that quest as we're speaking, but that's just how and where we're at right now. But Chara kind of goes on for this post, going back and forth, saying this kind of stuff and that. And then at the very end, he just ends it with, they both feel confident that Tuukka is the man for the job if it comes down to getting back to another Stanley Cup final. And Chara ended the post by dubbing Tuukka Rask the Boston Wall.
Interesting. All I think of as the Boston Wall is there's this place just above Quincy Market that is literally like a wall with like Boston and bubble letters. Very, very popular social media spot, if you will. So that's just what I'm picturing in my head right now.
Sitting in that.
And let me tell you, it's a lot bigger than an NHL goal. So I think it'd be pretty effective. Great stuff. It really does suck that, it's on a more serious note, it does suck that they can't be on that quest right now. I mean, for real though, we should have swept that first round wild card team by now and be awaiting our second card matchup. And that was a really cocky thing to say.
But it's true. We can say, but it because I think, we can't really be backed up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because we can't be wrong right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to see people remaining optimistic about, you know, the future of the Bruins in general and the future of hockey. Because at the end of the day, I mean, whenever this all ends, we will get back to some sort of normality in sports life and everyday life and that side of thing. And that's kind of just what we have to keep our focus on right now. Yeah. Not to get all like philosophical or whatever.
Yeah, we will move on though, because that basically does it for the Bruins. And to the New England Patriots, who I guess almost are the closest to playing sports with the Madden Goat Sim from Bleacher Report. I talked about this last week. The Patriots have made it to the Madden Goat Sim finals. They're matched up against the Green Bay Packers after beating the Kansas City Chiefs 27-21 in double overtime. I'm pretty sure that was the score. I forgot to look it up, but I'm gonna guess that was the score.
Sounds good to me. No field goal, because they would have been back and forth in possession. Makes sense.
I watched this with a friend over a Zoom call, and it was probably the least exciting experience of all time. Me play-by-playing a Twitch stream over a Zoom call was not great, but Patriots move on. The finals are tonight as we're recording this in all-time show fashion. So we'll break.
Prime time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
The crazy thing is they have people who are doing like announcing play-by-play on the actual stream.
That does not surprise me.
There are two guys
all.
Dressed up in suits doing play-by-play for a Madden game. This is how desperate we are for something to happen. But we'll break that down, I guess, next week, given that it'll happen tonight and this is already being recorded. Next up, Roger Goodell. Boo! We'll be announcing the first round picks from his basement in Bronxville, New York, per reports. I saw this on Instagram. Take it with a grain of salt, I guess. I'm just going to say it figures that Roger Goodell would live in New York.
And in Bronxville, of all places.
In his basement. What a bum. What we're getting
Screw
at,
that yeah. guy.
But no, basically, the NFL draft will be taking place. I think we broke this down last time. They're holding like online virtual meetings and stuff with different players who about being drafted, all this stuff. So we'll just kind of have to see where it goes. I think I might actually tune into the draft this year because I'm hoping it will be transitioned more towards like catering towards the viewers.
Absolutely. I think
versus
100%
an event
well.
That has been catered towards the live audience.
Where it's like, oh, if you're here, it's fun. If not,
literally
whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Here's
yeah.
like one camera.
Yeah. We will miss out on moments like that guy saying, who the F is Tingus Pingus when Kristaps Porzingis was drafted. So we'll miss out on some of those live moments. Or last year, everyone who is a New York Giants fan booing Daniel Jones getting drafted. So we will miss a couple of those all-time draft moments, but I'm honestly not too upset about it, and I hope for
I
some
if they'll
reason
have a live chat
that
I
like,
gotta presume
Goodell's
shut that down real quick.
I gotta hope
it wouldn't
that, like,
be anything good.
Goodell's basement floods or something during all of this. Like that would be the best case scenario.
Well, now that we're done bashing on the commissioner of the NFL, Bill Belichick is just—I say just, even though it would take probably 2 years,
literally. A season and a half of perfect football.
Bill Belichick is just 26 wins away from being the winningest coach in the Super Bowl era. Very exciting. Does he have two more years in him?
I think this is easy. This is one of those things where Bill Belichick will never live the rest of his coaching life around that figure at all. He will not care if he stops one game short.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter for that guy. He basically is like on the brink of not even experiencing human emotion, it looks like.
It's true.
So it's just a fun figure and one of those kind of like milestones you can count down towards as the next couple of seasons are being played out. We say that at this current moment in time, the NFL does plan on starting on time, but that's kind of hard to do considering the fact that training camps and stuff are supposed to start sooner than later. But we'll get into that when the news actually comes up. But it's just a fun figure, so I believe the record is currently at 296. So Belichick, once he gets that 26th win, or maybe it's 297, something like that. I forget exactly where it's at. It's very close to 300, and there's a good chance that we will see Bill Belichick being the first coach to win 300 games in the Super Bowl era. But I feel like this is just another figure that shows how incredible of a coach Bill Belichick was and is to this day. So something we can kind of keep on the radar for the next little bit, but considering it's over a season's worth of games away, it'll definitely take a little bit to get there. Not even knowing what the state of the Patriots is going to be this year. So something to look forward to, and maybe we will hopefully get to see that in the next couple of years out of Bill Belichick.
That is pretty much going to do it for us here today. We do have some very interesting stuff going forward. We're working on some stuff, breaking down some great, great Boston sports moments in history, just to provide a little extra something to you guys while sports are pretty slow at the moment. Obviously, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, it hasn't been a whole lot. And we apologize for this. Nothing we can really do. We will continue to bring you some sort of content, but next week is going to be pretty exciting. We might be bringing a couple different people on the show. We will just have to see, and you'll have to stay tuned. That being said, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you guys would like to, you know, leave us some sort of rating, some sort of feedback on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, that would be fantastic. If you really enjoy the show, consider subscribing so the podcast gets sent immediately to your phone. If you want exact time and date when the podcast goes up, it is every Tuesday at 7 a.m. And if you forget that, you can follow James on Twitter at JamesB_Boston or me on Twitter at BradyBrosAndNick, because we tweet out immediately when it goes up. Our Instagram is BradyBrosBoston. Our YouTube is BradyBros. I pretty much did the entire outro. So, James, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say quickly, going into a little bit more, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but the idea is for next week doing a bracket of the more recent best moments in Boston sports history. So if you have any ideas, any moments that come to mind for you, tweet them at me, tweet them at Nicholas. We want to get
a letter.
As many these, as much input as we can, so that way we can compile like a fair and just really good list of Boston sports moments, because there's only so much stuff that we can think of off the top of our heads with a couple of friends too. So anything that you guys can think of, like, there's a lot of regular season moments that get lost in the wonder of, oh, this postseason run or something. So
exactly. Anything that is significance to you guys and to Boston. We're trying to keep it stuff that we can vividly remember.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Bobby Orr scoring that incredible goal to win the Stanley Cup. Amazing moment. Probably the top Boston sports moment for a lot of people, but for us just was way outside
part of it is lost because of how
we weren't witnessing it type of thing. Yeah. But anything, even if it's just significant to you, we will take all into consideration. Again, no promises that it makes it into the final bracket. We're kind of James is pretty much the one deciding all of that. Pardon me as I stutter here. But we will take any and all suggestions into consideration. We really do appreciate the feedback and support. James, anything else?
That's going to do it. Tweet at us, BradyBrosNick, JamesB_Boston. Let us see your ideas, because I'm going to spend the next 4 days compiling this bracket and trying to make it the best it can be.
Cool. This was a very roundabout and broken outro. But again, we do appreciate all the support, and we will see ya.